So you've been talking about the Four Noble Truths and what unsatisfactory experiences are. And then we've been going into depth in terms of the causes of the unsatisfactory experiences, in particular the six root disturbing attitudes. And so we're finishing up the tail end of the root disturbing attitudes. We've been talking about the sixth one, deluded views, and we're on the last of the fifth subdivision of the sixth deluded view, right? Yeah? Okay. So, wrong views. Yeah, deluded intelligences that deny the existence of things which in fact exist, or accept the existence of things which in fact don't exist. Okay, so last time we were talking about thinking that there was a creator God as being one of the Western wrong views. Okay. Or another one is in science thinking that there is no mind except the brain, that the mind is the brain, or that the mind is just an emergent property of the brain, in the sense that all there really is just physical material and that's it. Okay? So that's a disturbing attitude, that's a wrong view, because if you begin to think that there's no mind whatsoever, the mind is just the brain, the mind is just the chemical activities, then you wind up negating past and future lives. When you negate past and future lives, then ethics becomes very, you know, kind of wavery. And also, if you say that there's just the brain, then it's very easy to get into the whole thing of, well, the path to liberation is just to drug the brain. Yeah? Because if there's no mind, there's no consciousness, then there's only the brain. So you're feeling unhappy, you're feeling miserable. It's due to the chemicals and electrons in the brain. So put a drug in. That's the path to liberation. Yeah? So that's the kind, that's why it's considered a wrong view, you know, because it kind of leads you to all these very strange behaviors. Okay. Another wrong view prevalent is to think that human beings are by nature evil. Yeah. In other words, I mean, you hear many people talk about that. Remember in school kind of debating this, are human beings by nature good? Are they by nature evil? And thinking that people are by nature evil, that there's nothing that can be done about evil, that selfishness is an intrinsic part of the mind, attachment and anger are intrinsic part of the mind, there's nothing you can do to eliminate them. Yeah, many people who believe like that. So that's a wrong view, because if you believe that, then, it's a wrong view because, in fact, all these disturbing attitudes can be removed. But if you don't believe they can be removed, then you're not believing in the possibility of enlightenment and the possibility of any kind of improvement of one's own mental state or improvement of society or improvement of anything. Because one's just stuck in, you know, I'm inherently selfish, so is everybody else. The whole world stinks. Yeah, and then you live your life like that. So then, you know, without making any kind of effort to improve oneself or contribute to others, and then, of course, nothing improves. Yeah. So this is another one. We have to kind of look in our own hearts and see how many wrong views we have there. And we may not espouse them publicly, but, kind of what corner of our heart still thinks that there is a creator God, that, you know, if we just please this creator God, we'll be okay. What corner of our heart thinks that selfishness is an intrinsic part of the mind and that human beings are by nature evil? What part of our mind, you know, or our heart thinks that there is no mind or that the mind is the brain? Yeah. So to really search these out within ourselves. Or certain wrong views about karma, like I was saying, thinking that we were born into this life because we have lessons to learn, as if that there's some grand lesson planner, you know, who's designing all these lessons. or thinking that karma is reward and punishment, or thinking that there's eternal heaven and hell, you know, the kind of limiting karma to just this life, and then after this life, according to your karma, eternal bliss, eternal damnation, no other, you know, thinking that these afterlife states are permanent and eternal and unchanging. Yeah, so those are wrong views because, you know, those things last only as long as the causal energy is there, you know, and since any kind of karmic action we've done only lasted for a limited amount of time, it expires, it exhausts itself after some time, and so those, you know, good states and bad states of rebirth all end. Okay, but thinking they're eternal, then again we get stuck. So what part of our mind kind of still thinks like that? Yeah, what part of our mind kind of thinks that when we die we're going to get judged and somebody's going to send us to heaven and hell? And the reason I'm emphasizing this is we grew up with all sorts of stuff. And, you know, sometimes the things we listened to when we were little, we didn't examine, we just kind of believed, and they got kind of all mixed up with our feelings about acceptance and society. So there might, you know, we might believe certain things, not because we've really thought about them and believe them, but because we think if we don't, we're not going to fit into society or whatever. And so, you know, it's really important to kind of look inside and see what's really going on and what we believe and why. Another wrong view is thinking that there's one universal mind. This is another very popular one these days. Everything's one. One universal mind. Yeah, we're all chips off the old block. Yeah, this again leads to many... You remember Lama Zopa teaching about this? He says, well, if there's one universal mind, and then I am you and you are me, that means I can go in your house and take anything I want because it's my stuff. Yeah. Well, so we get into certain difficulties again, you know, with this idea of one universal mind. And also, if there's one universal mind, then, you know, one thing is only one, so how can there be many parts to it? And then the whole thing of how did one universal mind fragment into all these different bits. And so you come to a lot, you know, quite a few difficulties in terms of explaining all this. So I remember one of my teachers saying that, you know, there's infinite number of wrong views. So we can kind of only go so far discussing this, otherwise we won't get through the long rim. But, you know, this is a real interesting one. You know, all these things are real interesting to look at. And I was thinking about all the philosophical study, you know, that we do in the process of a lot of our training. And it's designed very much to take out a lot of these wrong views that have, you know, been found in previous cultures and our own culture, really take them out and lay them on the table, and let's look at them in a logical way and see what's going on. So a lot of the philosophical study is aimed at that, because if we can clear away all of our intellectual wrong views, then at least that there's a chance that we can develop a correct intellectual understanding of emptiness, and then on the basis of that, meditate and actually experience emptiness. But if our mind is cluttered with all sorts of wrong views and, you know, kind of making up our own philosophy, then we tend not to follow karma very well and create a lot of causes of suffering. And we tend also not to meditate on emptiness or on altruism because we don't believe in them. Yeah? Okay? So, that's concluding this one of wrong views. Okay, so we've finished the six disturbing attitudes on the outline.